We're talking about how we view the spiritual side of Marie Kondo and decluttering here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Americans seem to be in a purging frenzy thanks to the Netflix show Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. The impact of the Japanese home organizing consultant is said to be felt at charities and thrift shops that are being inundated with extra donations. Here she is introducing her KonMari method on YouTube.
I have an important question to ask you. Is your home tidy? Even if your answer is no, no problem.
So we're not tackling clutter in this conversation. Instead, we're exploring how Americans' response to the KonMari frenzy has ties to centuries-old racist attitudes toward Asian cultures and religions. Have you watched Marie Kondo's show on Netflix? Did you connect with the more spiritual parts of her tidying up method? Why or why not? We're at 800-642-1234. Melissa Borja is an assistant professor of American culture at the University of Michigan, and she specializes in refugee migration and Asian American religion. Melissa, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So it's been 4 years now since Marie Kondo's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And now she's got this really popular Netflix show. Why do you think Americans are so fascinated with her?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons why she addresses needs that we Americans have right now. I mean, we could point to the fact that we are overwhelmed with clutter and overconsumption. But I think an important dimension of her appeal is the fact that she embodies the Oriental monk trope. And by Oriental monk, I'm using Jane Iramura's idea of an Asian sage who offers life-changing guidance to Western audiences who are eager for wisdom and personal transformation. So it is partly because she represents a magical, exotic, Oriental, religious set of beliefs and practices.
And so this, as you say, is an example of this racist cliche that dates back at least a century. Have you been seeing this all along in her rise, or have you, has this spiritual identity as part of Marie Kondo evolved for Western viewers?
Yeah, I think it's important to see that there has always been a hunger for people like Marie Kondo. Again, as you mentioned, it goes back a century. If we look at movies like Broken Blossom from 1919, a film by D.W. Griffith, we look at characters like Mr. Miyagi in The Karate Kid or Charlie Chan. There has always been this fascination with people who are Asian and wise and magical. And Marie Kondo, while she is in many ways a departure from those previous Oriental monks, she reinforces some of that fascination. I don't think it's an accident that Americans love her so much. And I also don't necessarily think it's an accident that she might recognize that dimension of her appeal and make use of that, both in her book and her television show.
So we know that she practices Shintoism, which is a traditional Japanese religion. Can you tell us more about that? Do you think, American audiences are aware of that?
Yeah, this is something that has come up in the past. It's useful to look at the television show today and also read the book that became very popular about 5 years ago. And in the book, more so than in the television show, she describes her role as a Shinto shrine maiden and how that was instrumental to her approach, her distinctive approach to tidying up called the KonMari method. And she describes how her relationship to objects, as well as the feeling of anticipation that one has in undertaking a tidying up project, is informed by her Shinto beliefs and practices. Now, it's interesting to note that is largely why I think she is appealing, or one reason why I think she's appealing to American audiences, but some people have been uncomfortable with it. There have been some more conservative Christians who have wondered, is it okay to do the KonMari method? Is it in conflict with my Christian beliefs? On the whole, though, I do think that people have found her Shinto approach to be one reason why she is new and fresh and exciting.
We're talking with Melissa Borja. She's an assistant professor of American culture at the University of Michigan. And we're looking more deeply at Marie Kondo, her decluttering mission, but also the spiritual side of that and how that is perceived in the West. You can join in this discussion at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed the spiritual side of Marie Kondo, and what do you make of it? Perhaps you see parallels to your own spiritual practices and the approaches that you take to your life and your home. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. So, Marie Kondo's book, which made her famous, it's called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. What do you see as the significance of that title, those words?
Yeah, I see in that title the Oriental monk trope encapsulated perfectly. You have, on one hand, an emphasis on the magical dimensions of it, the spiritual, life-changing dimensions of this East-West spiritual East-West encounter. But you also have, in the second half of the title, the Japanese-ness of it, the otherness, the Asian-ness, that is also an important part of this longstanding trope. And so, yeah, I see that transformation and that Asian-ness being very present in the book, but it's also very present in what she does in the television show. The stories that people share at the end of each episode about how Marie Kondo has been their mentor, how she has helped them tidy up not just their homes, but their relationships with their spouses, their children. It's really powerful to see that through a religious lens, and see that as almost a story, a narrative of spiritual transformation as much as home transformation.
So for people who may not be familiar with her approach, can you describe the way she helps people clean up their homes on perhaps her Netflix show, and how it's more of a spiritual approach than typical decluttering?
So this is a really interesting aspect of the show. She goes to homes of a variety of different families. She has LGBT families. She has families of different racial and ethnic backgrounds, young families, old families. They're all really different. But one thing that is always very consistent is that at the beginning of every episode, there is a ritual in which she greets the home. Sometimes she describes it as thanking the home. But in that moment, the episode suspends. There is music. There are close-up of the hands of the family members as they bow their heads, almost as if they're saying the Lord's Prayer, and hold hands. And it is this really powerful moment that is consistent in every episode that really grounds each show in this spiritual experience. And then there are all of these other rituals that she does throughout each episode. She encourages people to thank their objects before they decide to discard them. She encourages people to tap the books so that their spirits can be awakened before the people decide to sort them. So all of these rituals throughout each episode that reinforce the presentation of Marie Kondo as a spiritual leader and not just a regular old home organization consultant, even though that's how she describes herself.
Let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Kelly joining us, Kelly joining us from Cascade. Kelly, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I love Marie Kondo. I've done her tidying up and read her book. It greatly appealed to me. I'm actually a Christian mystical priest, which is probably quite unknown. We would probably be considered renegades or heretics. I'm not practicing currently, but deep in the Christian tradition and in a lot of the practices of the monks was a practice to leave the things of your past behind. So monks would go into sometimes in caves or they'd have small rooms, they'd have a little bedside table or shrine and just a very few things. And that's very common in Christian tradition as well. We've just gotten far away from it. I actually was introduced to her in the process of leaving my former practice and role as a priest to kind of be with my husband and children more full on, and just found myself not really knowing what to do with all the stuff and that was accumulating. And she kind of brought me back to what was already a part of my own spiritual path.
So, Kelly, you're seeing parallels there in part to Christian traditions. Melissa?
Yeah, I don't think that's uncommon. I think that there is something about religious encounter in general that causes people on either religious side to reflect and recognize elements of themselves in a new way. So I don't think it's uncommon for people to read her book or watch her TV show or do her method and reflect upon their own tradition and find resonances there. There was a really fascinating op-ed written in the Washington Post by a professor from Liberty University a few years ago, in which she also talked about Marie Kondo's method through a distinctly Christian lens, talking about cleanliness and godliness, and seeing that there are, while there are clearly differences between Shintoism and Christianity, a lot of similarity. So I think it's important to remember that encounter, which is what I think her show involves seeing difference, but also acknowledging similarity.
We're exploring our perception of Marie Kondo, looking at the spiritual underpinnings and how they translate here in the West. Marie Kondo greets every house that she tidies serenely, getting onto her knees, bowing. Everything within the house is holy, to be treated with reverence and respect. Melissa Borja is our guide. She's an assistant professor of American culture specializing in Asian American religion at the University of Michigan. You can join in 800-642-1234. What do you think of Marie Kondo's approach to life and home? What do you make of her more spiritual approach to an orderly life? Can you draw parallels to your own religion? Join in, email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about how spirituality can be impacted by racist assumptions. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kedar Chirkent, and we're learning why it's important to respect the spirituality behind Marie Kondo's tidying up. Here's a moment from the trailer for her Netflix show, Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
I'm so excited because I love this.
Hello, I'm Marie Kondo. 私のミッションは片付けによって世界をときめかせていくことです。
She says, my mission is to spark joy in the world through cleaning. Have you followed Marie Kondo's work? Do you connect with the more spiritual parts of her tidying up method? Why or why not? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Melissa Borja is our guide. She's an assistant professor of American culture at the University of Michigan. Let's go back to the phones now with Wyatt joining us from Salt River. Wyatt, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment is, I haven't read Kondo's book, but I have seen her show. I just see a lot of parallels to Bushido, which is samurai living, and Japanese, just kind of Japanese philosophies in that way, and really the message of self-control. And I don't think we see that as much in Western philosophy. So I wonder if that's why people are really drawn to it, or we're kind of missing that piece in our life. And I'll take any comments off air.
Wyatt, thanks. So he's picking up on this self-control that perhaps we have an appetite for because it's missing.
Wyatt, thanks so much for your comment. I think you point to something that is an important part of this Oriental monk trope, which is the identification of deficiencies in Western and American culture in particular, and the possibilities that Eastern traditions might offer for greater wisdom and transformation and betterment. So yes, I think it's very possible that Marie Kondo's beliefs and approaches to tidying up have resonances with other aspects of Japanese culture. And I guess one thing we should ask ourselves, as part of a Western audience that is really fascinated with all these aspects of Japanese culture and religion, is why are we so fascinated with it? And what needs does it meet and desires does it meet that we have? And so, yeah, self-control might be part of it. A desire for less stuff, a desire for greater serenity and peace and tranquility and wisdom. I think that it's important for us to reflect on what exactly you're pointing to, which is a sense of what we might be missing in our lives now here.
Let's bring in Steve now, joining us from Adam's Friendship. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
What's on your mind about Marie Kondo?
Well, I was thinking that maybe it's not just the religious thing. I mean, there's another show called Hoarders where people, they finally took it off the air, but they had people call it back because it's such a good show because people like seeing other people's messes and how they get cleaned up. They don't like see, they're kind of comparing themselves to how dirty their houses are.
Steve, have you seen Marie Kondo's show?
I haven't seen a part of it. I only seen like a segment of it, but that's about it. I have both of her books. I just haven't got to read it yet.
What attracts you to wanting to get her books, or what are you curious about?
Well, I like to, you know, declutter my life because, well, I have a lot of books and stuff like that, but maybe there's a psychological thought process to how she does it versus, you know, how a psychologist for hoarding does. You know, she makes it more seem more nicer versus, you know, the scientific thought process to it.
Yeah, so maybe there's something deeper there, Melissa.
Yeah, I think one thing that is really striking about Marie Kondo is how gentle and warm she is. She never criticizes the people that she helps. She never insults them. And to be honest, if you look at the homes she addresses and the homes in Hoarders, it's like a completely different scale. The homes that she visits are really not that messy. I mean, maybe that's a commentary on the messiness of my own home, but I didn't think that they were particularly messy. But what she really is doing is excavating their issues that underlie their things. So she's tidying up their homes, which aren't that messy, really, but really helping them tidy up their relationships with other people in their lives, especially at moments of big transition. And she does so in a way that's very gentle and warm. And so I think that that is certainly an appeal. She's not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. She's not pathologizing the people. But then again, they don't have kind of the big problems that the Hoarders do. But they are looking for transformation and a gentle leader to help them achieve that.
Marie Kondo was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert in February, and she helped Stephen clean up his desk. And let's hear now some of that show, and you'll hear Kondo, her translator, and then Colbert.
So I usually do this in my heart, but you can verbalize it just for today. Just express the gratitude you have for the studio, what this desk and the studio allows you to do, to do this amazing show every night. You can verbalize what you're feeling inside too.
I don't understand anything you're saying when you say it, but even if you had no translator, I would follow you to a cult compound and never leave.
What do you see? What do you hear there in that exchange?
Well, I hear Stephen Colbert acknowledging the spirituality and the appeal of her. In other words, the spiritualness of why she is so powerful to people. And he was making a joke of it. And I think if you asked him, I'm not sure he would actually describe her as leading a cult. But I think that there is a recognition of her charisma and her magnetism and the centrality of her spirituality in that. And I think that is true for a lot of people. This is why she is so powerful to Americans and why this show, I think, is going to be quite impactful, not only in the short term, but in the long term, because it will reinforce really powerful ideas about Asian spirituality and the potential of Asia to offer the West renewal, wisdom, and transformation.
Let's go to Sharon now in Minocqua. Sharon, hi.
Hi. Great show. I love Marie Kondo. I'm part Japanese. My mother's Japanese. I teach Asian watercolor painting classes. And the Japanese philosophy of simplicity is something Marie Kondo just really brings. That's what her entire you know, business is based on is just simplifying your life. And that's true also in Asian art. They try to just make sure that you are just leaving space in the painting in order to let the energy and let the viewer pass through the art. And that philosophy in Japan is, you know, it's about simplification. And it's very challenging, I think, in a lot of Western cultures or here in the United States especially, because we base so much on the accumulation of things. Even in art, people paint to the four corners of the page or to the canvas as opposed to leaving the spaces open. And, you know, I just wanted to compare that to Asian art, the philosophy in Asian art as well.
Sharon, thank you for bringing that in. Melissa, bringing the artistic side in there and comparison.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, that there is also an aesthetic dimension in addition to the philosophical and spiritual dimensions of Marie Kondo's appeal. And I think it's worth pointing out also that there are traditions within Western religion and Western art that emphasize space and emptiness as well, but perhaps not to the same degree that we're seeing with Japanese traditions. I think that's an important aspect. I'm not making the argument that all of Marie Kondo's appeal can be summed up in her spiritual aspects. I think there are aesthetic dimensions as well.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I have enjoyed this conversation so much. Thank you.
Melissa Borja is an assistant professor of American culture at the University of Michigan, where she specializes in refugee migration and Asian American religion. Just ahead, Recovery Alignment Day takes place at the Wisconsin Capitol tomorrow. We'll talk about the event and what event organizers want to talk about in terms of recovery. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.